Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, as I ponder the many blessings that we enjoy today, I am filled with gratitude. Of course, I think about the physical and worldly blessings, but I know the greatest blessing is to personally know you, Jesus, that I may have eternal closeness with you. Thank you for your plan of eternal salvation with you, in Jesus' name and amen. Our Bible is so good. It is full of true stories of life about those who have relation with God and about those who have no relation with God. Stories about the wise, stories about the foolish, and also stories about the good and the bad. These true stories get our attention because we can relate to them either in our own life or in the life of someone we know or someone we know about. Bible stories guide us in life by showing us and teaching us how to handle the situation that is right in front of us. Probably one that we have never personally experienced before, but the Bible gives us a chance to examine what to do if. And that's why we can consider it a book of instructions. So we will do better if we apply biblical knowledge to our current life circumstances. There are a few Bible stories about rich men. And there is a Bible passage, Matthew 16:26, that goes, "What profit is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" And we look around and know that we want to keep our priorities lined up with God's priorities. And there is a Bible story about a man who has so much wealth that he wants to tear down his barns that hold grain and to build bigger barns to hold more grain. And God says, "You fool, this very night your life will be required of you." You know, that means he's going to die. Well, that is Matthew 16:26. So, days ago, there was this story in the news that reminded me of that. The world's largest holder of Bitcoin, who held it as an individual, that is, he drowned in the ocean in Costa Rica, and his net worth was said to be between $1 and $2 billion. That's billion with a B. And he was age 41, Mycia Papusco. It was his name, and that happened about 10 days ago. Now, I have no idea what his relation with Jesus Christ was, but I just think of this news as a reminder that we have no idea how long or how short our life will be. So we always want to be ready to meet Jesus Christ. And, you know, there's another Bible story I'm just thinking of about being kind to your enemies. And still, we are to use wisdom as we deal with anybody. And the Bible tells us to treat our enemies humanely by giving them food and water. And that does not mean to say we give them freedom in everything that they might have to hurt us with, like their weapons, so that they could maybe even kill you. So, no, and we want to be sensible and wise about what we do. But it is always good to show kindness. in the last 100 years, there were many stories about enemies of Jesus Christ, enemies of Christians, and how they were won to Christ by their Christian victims having compassion for that person. And the Bible gives us examples, and it tells us, like in Matthew 5:43, to love our enemies and to do good to those who hate you and persecute you. Now that's Proverbs 15. Proverbs 25:21 and Romans 12:20. Those have similar themes. And that makes me think about what happened to Corrie Ten Boom. Now, that was after her release from the concentration camp that held her in Germany. So, years after that, she was holding a Come to Jesus street event in Germany, and guess who came up to her to be saved? It was that cruel jailer who tormented her in prison. And that old jailer did not recognize her, but she certainly recognized him. And she had to pray to God for great strength because she had to forgive him in her own heart and then lead him to Christ after he had tormented her for years in that prison. Can you see that Corrie Ten Boom is an example to us that we also ought to be able to forgive the many injustices that are done to us? Well, we realize that the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus. That is the most important. So when we follow Jesus, we have to remember what he did for us and how Jesus, even as he hung on the cross, said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And for us today, many of us have plenty of hurts and problems that we need to forgive other people for. And sure, forgiveness helps the other person, but mostly forgiveness is for us to let go of that hate that will destroy us. Now, there's worldly wisdom and there's biblical wisdom. And we learn the biblical wisdom that gives us life abundantly and eternal life also abundantly. So we can learn from all the stories, the olden day stories, and even the modern stories that people tell us. It's not always easy to do what God tells us to do, but when we obey God, our rewards are very great. And even today, there are plenty of stories of God working in the lives of people, God working in our lives, and we do find that the rewards are great. I know a woman and her husband who about 20 years ago, she had stage 4 cancer. And she made her peace with God, but she asked Jesus Christ to heal her, and he did. Today, she has a very large ministry of bringing prayer and comfort and healing to the hurting. So I see this as evidence of God's love, and also God knowing everything. So he knows what's going to happen in the future also. Oh, let's see. Here's another present-day story of a Christian man who gave much thanks to God. This was 2 years ago for providing the doctors who saved his life with a heart bypass surgery. Now today, he's kind of had a little fall because he has pornography in his life. And while he still gives thanks to God for his life, I can only wonder how this story will end up. I don't mean I can judge his life, not at all, not past, present, or future, but I do wonder about it, and in my thoughts, I am concerned. So we pray for people that we have concerns about. I've already spoken to him privately about my concerns. But today, we do the best we know how, the best that we can to serve our Lord God. But about the world that we live in, I do wonder about what is around us, what's going to happen. And we have to pray for the things that are going on around us. We don't know what part of the end time is, but so many of us see that these are end times that we are in. And so many of us expect Jesus to return soon. And that reminds me of another story. One day in church, I was with an old friend. And I was feeling so excited that Jesus was coming back. So I said to him, "Don't you just know that Jesus is coming back soon?" And he said, "Oh, John, he might not return for 100 years. And I thought about it, and I studied the matter, and I came to realize that what he said was very true. It could be 100 years away that Jesus returns. So, indeed, we do ask, when will Jesus return? Well, I think of 2 Thessalonians 2, and it talks about Jesus not returning until there is a great falling away and the man of sin, the Antichrist, is revealed. And then Jesus returns. Well, do you think that's happened yet? There are people who say that's already happened. But you just decide for yourself. The Antichrist, when will he be revealed? Well, there are some churches today, like I said, some churches believe it's already happened, and some churches say, nope. Probably it does not matter if you believe that or not, because the important thing for all of us to remember is, are you ready to meet Jesus? But sure, the positions can be important that a church holds, and if you want to know about those positions, I sure hope you look them up online and read their statement of faith, because you will learn more than you can imagine by things like their statement of faith. I know I have been very surprised when I've gone to a new church, or church just to try that church for see what it was about, and I liked the church, I liked the people, I liked the things that were said. And then I look up that church on the internet, and many times I have found that, well, they really have some fundamental beliefs that I would not agree with. And so I would not attend that church, even though I did once and I liked it. But I saw there were some fundamental beliefs that I would not agree with. So what I tell you is for you to look at those church documents and make sure that they agree with your fundamental beliefs. Check it out. You might even check the church you now attend. It's probably okay, but it's pretty wise to look closely at the church that you either do or want to attend. Statements of faith and what they stand for are surprisingly important. And we have some unknown events in the future. And for whatever is ahead, We know that we want to stay strong in the Lord, and we know that we want to have people around us that are going to help us as we serve Jesus Christ. So look at all the things that you find and make sure that you are with people who have the fundamental belief that you have reasoned out. And you never know when you're going to have to depend on people, both spiritually and physically, to help with something. So, yes, look at what's going on around you. Sometimes you'll want to help the people around you, and sometimes you will want the churches to do that because you're not equipped to do what they can do. You know, we have a government that is spending millions of dollars to help people, but they really, often enough, they only help a few people, even though they're spending all of our money for the answer to help people. And I think a really wise way to help people is to let a Christian church or a Christian group do it. That seems to be the best help that people can have. We don't want to throw our money away. We only have so much money. Whether you're the government or a church or a person, you have to watch out how much money you actually spend. Our money will one day run out, and that will be very sad, but it is heading that way very rapidly. I think it's very good to orient ourselves to a pastor who knows God and can live a godly life according to what the Bible says. I do suggest that we all find a pastor who truly can lead in a Christ-like manner, with the Bible as the core of belief and actions. Now, there's another little element to that, and that is we have to be knowledgeable enough to recognize that the behavior that anyone has is biblical behavior. And that means everyone has to study the Bible, from the pastor to the children, everyone. And I think that there are foundations of freedom in biblical principles. And that's how we got our Constitution and Bill of Rights. I know that from everything I have read, our founders were clearly Christian people, so clearly. Now, if you want to point out two or three of them that might not have been, I understand they might not have been, but they still lived their life with moral Christian foundations. But, you know, it's not a perfect thing, and the world we live in is not perfect, but we have to know what the ideal is. In the olden days, yes, we can look back on them, and in these modern days, we have to know what the Christian ideals are. We make decisions based on those ideals and not on our personal feelings. And maybe you've noticed that our feelings can change, sometimes in a really big way. And we do better if we have the stability of the Word of God as our foundation. So that's what we want. We want the stability of the Word of God as our foundational belief system. We do want to know what it is that God has said in His written Word. And often we seek people who know this. And yes, it can be a pastor. It is an older person that a younger person might seek advice or help from. Presumably, it is because that older person has common sense and wisdom, and so they can be listened to. Oh, but be aware that some people just won't listen to anything. They appear to be seeking advice, but they have already had advice. There is no advice and no wisdom that they can hear to change their mind, not even biblical advice and wisdom. So you have to have a look and recognize the people around you and what their attitude is. That will make it so you don't waste your time and your effort on certain things and people. Well, I think we all have to search out truth and understanding. And eventually we look and eventually learn that there is no truth greater than God's word that is written in the Bible. And this truth is searched out by wise men who learn to apply that wisdom in life. And I do hope that in these days you recognize the deception that is going on and know how we can stay strong in the Lord Jesus Christ, even as we tell others about the good news of the gospel. We want to have a wonderful eternity in heaven with Jesus, and we want them to have a wonderful eternity in heaven with Jesus. So that's what we do. We talk about that good news, and sure, we can use different parts of the Bible that says different things. I do like that Romans 10, 9, and 10. I do like John 3, 3, about that John is about being born again. But somehow, there's Christian people all over who recognize one part as having more importance than another. And we just have to be so careful that we really know and preach the whole Word of God. You will have to search that out. You will have to seek advice from people who know. Pastors are good people for that. But really, it all depends on that personal relation that you have with Jesus Christ, that you understand what he is telling you in the Bible. And one of those things that we do is we do proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ with the gospel. And that's something we should all know how to do. It's what we do. It's a part of our faith. But we do have difficult times that are coming up. We know that because it's in the Bible. There are some difficulties, again, Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and Luke 21, they tell us that they're in the world. And it happens that hard times often will cause people to reexamine their life and be open to coming to Jesus. So that's a part of what happens when there are these hard times in life. But know what that Bible message is and you be able to communicate it. That's a part of what we do. In this world, as we know all the things that are going on around us, well, we don't know all of them, but we kind of get an idea that there's some pretty difficult things going on, and we always want to be aware that we are not deceived. I know the New Testament has that just plenty. I think it says that about a dozen times in the New Testament. But let us remember that we are in a battle, that we have an enemy that wants to hurt and destroy us, wants us to suffer in hell. So we have to have that prayerful relation with Jesus Christ. And it sure helps to have knowledge of the Word of God so that we can overcome our adversary and bring the good news of the gospel to other people. Sometimes it's a fight, and as I think of fight, I think of Ephesians 6:17, and it tells us about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that means it surely is a good thing to know the Word of God so that we have something to fight with. A sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And yes, we are in a battle. We've always had this battle. It's always gone on. It's just in different ways at different times. I think of the 1960s when we have heard that adage, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And those things is what was tried to be put into our thoughts. But from a godly perspective, we have to reject that. Even though it is true for the world, you have to know your position in Christ and reject the evil and the sin of this world. We have to not allow the sin in our thought or our word or our deed, and instead have fellowship with God as He has fellowship with us. It's a wonderful thing. And so, for all these things that are going on, we do need discernment. We do need to recognize that, well, some people are veiled. They can't see it. They have a veil of darkness over them, which you could call sinfulness. It's simply, I think of it as a veil. They cannot see the truth because they have a veil over their spiritual eyes. That's something about 2 Corinthians 4:3 that talks about being veiled, and they are perishing. So we have to recognize that this is a condition of some people in the world, and we want to bring the light of Jesus Christ to them so they can clearly see what is going on around them. Well, the personal relationship that a person has with God Jesus is what the most important thing is. And we speak about that so that people have the opportunity to go to heaven and not hell. But sometime we have to make that understanding clear, and that's just what we do as Christians. We all know that there are distractions everywhere in the world, all over, no matter where you look. There are distractions, all sorts of them. But we have to remember to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. He is our salvation. He is wonderful. Yeah. And His ways give us freedom and prosperity. Now, we think with our short-term vision and our greed that the things in the world will give us freedom and prosperity. And they do sometimes. But that's the short-term freedom and prosperity. We want the long-term freedom and prosperity, and for that, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, we will be glad to talk to people about that. And we have to also be understanding of what people are going through. And people are going through all sorts of things in the world. I mean, just look at what the world talks about. There are, things like transgender and abortion and the election things, and all these things are all over the news. So they are things about the world. They are distractions, and we have to remember the most important thing is salvation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another distraction can be just looking at the power structure of the world. Yes, the political scene, but also the just how everything is going. We can see there's an underlying power struggle all around us. And we have to understand the things that affect us also. Just the physical things in our world. Now, some would say the national debt is one of them. Well, yeah, I agree. We have to know that the national debt is harming us. And there are people who say that our national debt can be forgiven. All we have to do is give up everything we own. Yeah, that's the World Economic Forum that says that. And they have a promotional video that says that's the idea, is to own nothing and be happy. Well, how would you feel about giving up your ownership of your house, your car, and even your bicycle? They're talking about owning everything, and then you would rent whatever you needed. That's their plan for getting rid of the great big huge debt in the world, the great big huge debt that the United States has. And you know what? People are so overwhelmed with this debt that they are grasping at straws just to have debt relief. The American people, some of them are like that too. They recognize how great that debt is, and they recognize that even though our Congress agreed to this debt, the debt that they have agreed to is in each one of our names. It's in the name of us citizens. We are responsible for that debt, and so there are people who are very concerned about our financial system and what is going on with it. Some people want us to get out of debt so desperate that they are willing to give everything up. Some politicians feel the same way, but the politicians would be giving up our ownership. And that's something which we just have to be very watchful about. The things are going on automatically, and just like our government debt, it's continually increasing. Why? Because there are programs that are automatically renewed. At some point, the debt will become so overwhelming that our financial system will crash. And throughout whatever is happening, we have to remember our position in Jesus Christ is the most important, and we must continue to live with godly behavior and live godly principles throughout whatever the circumstances are. So I was just thinking, though, that makes me think of that Kentucky pastor, Dana Coverstone. Last year, he said, brace yourself. Why? Because there will be a multifaceted collapse of our system. Now, he's not the only one saying that. There's people who are Christians. There's people who are financial people. There is everybody who says one thing or another, and they will often use those words, brace yourself. So, well, maybe it's true. Maybe it's not true. But when so many people are seeing that there is trouble on the horizon, it is only wise to do something about it. And so maybe we ought to consider bracing ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. Prepare for the hard times. Now, I think of, let's see, it's been about 27 years ago that for about a year, I just kept meeting people. There were about 8 people, and it was a little over a year, where I met people who had either lived in Nazi Germany or the eastern zone of Europe. And they kept telling me that they saw the signs in our country that reminded them of what happened to Nazi Germany. Boy, that was a hard one for me to grasp. I guess I do see it, but I don't want to see it. I don't want to think that it's even possible, but it just might be. So what would we do if we started turning to that, sure, call it a Nazi pattern of how things are going, where we want a really strong leader who promises us prosperity and all sorts of good things, but he doesn't say that he's going to take your morality away. He doesn't say he's going to enslave you or take you to internment, concentration camps, if your behavior is not politically correct. So there's things that these strong leaders will do if you don't agree with them. See, we in this country are having a real understanding that slavery is wrong, but we are still doing business with a country that has slaves. They have people in internment camp working for free for a pittance, and that's how they do it in China. And there's another thing going on in China, and that is that they harvest human organs and sell them all over the world to the wealthy countries. That is a terrible thing. When you think about the testimonies that occasionally get into the news, now I've had my ear open to this for over 20 years, so I have heard the testimonies that have been given to an international committee, the United Nations committee, or some other tribunal in Canada or some other country. The information is around, but somehow we just don't seem to notice that the organ harvesting in China is very cruel and very immoral. They take it from the prisoners and sell them. Well, I tremble to think about how these principles are carried out and how we, America, is compromising on human principles. So I wonder what will be the long-term effect. I just wonder. Now, another thing that has a long-term effect is the trade that we are doing in drugs, recreational drugs, that's what it's called. And I don't mean legal marijuana. I mean things like fentanyl. It is pouring into our country at a huge rate. It's crossing our southern borders, and there are reports that in recent months it has grown to 5 or 10 times the normal confiscation rate of federal agents. In one case, it was even 40 times their normal confiscation rate. But drugs are going on, and we have to realize that our people are dying because of the drugs. So many of our 15 to 30-year-old young people are taking a doctored form of fentanyl, and it's killing them. We are killing our young people. It's terrible. And who would benefit from it? I don't know. Well, if there was an invasion of our country, the invader would benefit because they're not the young people to resist. They're killing them all. Well, I know that's an exaggeration, but it still is along a line of thinking. It may be correct, actually, but we do have to realize that our country is changing, and somehow we are going to get circumstances that we won't like, whatever they are. I know that more and more our country is agreeing with sin or making sin legal. Now, sin is what God says not to do, and we are doing it. And that means there will be consequences. I do remember an old hippie guy I ran into many years ago, and he talked about the turbulent demonstrations of the 1960s in Berkeley. Now, it doesn't mean I agree with it, but I remember things I hear, and I thought it was very interesting that he said you could always tell when there was some big event coming along because the supply of drugs would suddenly increase, their purity would increase, and the price would drop. So, I don't mean I know that, but I do think I heard this once. And I do see that drugs are being brought into our country more and more. So I wonder if it's an indicator. Not that I know, but I wonder. Things are going on, and we are in turbulent times. I mean, that's just obvious. There are people who are holding all sorts of conflicting views. I think a few days ago, there was a Harvard-Harris poll that said 80% of Americans said illegal immigration must be stopped and that this was a serious issue. Well, there's a lot of people who don't like things that are going on. And let's see, here's another part of that. 50% of the people polled do not agree that illegal immigration is caused by climate change or racism or sexism. So there's questions, and we are in a society that is getting divided in along racial lines often enough. And by the way, that same poll talked about 61% do not believe that we should teach that America is structurally racist or that it is dominated by white supremacy. But that is what is being taught in school. So there is conflict, and what do? We just keep trying to work it out and figure it out. That's just what we're doing, because we're human beings that want the best outcome that there can be. That's the way it is. But we do have consequences for all the things that we are agreeing with, and even bringing multiple people into this land. What is happening? There are consequences because of this and of that. And we are getting things that are changing the nature of America. In America, we are very often soft and spoiled people, and I'm afraid that we may not be able to withstand even the slightest hardship should it come along. I mean, can you think of going without your favorite foods for a few weeks, or living without heat or air conditioning? No, those are things that are considered a hardship. They're not hardship the way we knew it in the American Revolutionary War of the 1700s, but people just want ease, and we have gotten so used to our conveniences that we just don't want anything to change. Oh, I just think about the Church of Ephesus. Oh, I know, my thoughts go here and there, but that Church of Ephesus, Jesus said that church had good works, but that it had left its first love, which was Jesus. Jesus needs to be in first place of what and who we love. But that church had lost its first love, and so Jesus tells that church to repent, or he will remove their lampstand. So, whatever the lampstand represents, We know that they did not want it removed, and we would not want it removed either. The Church of Ephesus was a Christian church, and there were all sorts of good works that were done in that church, even in the midst of a strong pagan culture. It still did good works. And there were sinful things that happened all around with the worship of that false deity and idol Diana. That's what the city of Ephesus was known for, its idols and its temple prostitutes, and that was a part of the religious service. But over time, that city did change, and it kept the land rose and the sea moved away from it so that it got to be several miles away from the city, the ocean did, and that meant that the trade of Ephesus dried up, and nowadays the bustling city of Ephesus is no more. It is just another ruins in Turkey. But the lesson is clear, and that is we want to remember our first love, Jesus Christ, through prayer and through our actions. That is what we want to do. We don't want to have America dry up and blow away like Ephesus did. And it could happen here. We see signs of it with all the internal conflicts that are going on. Divisions everywhere. We know there could be turmoil. We know that there are things that could destroy America with all the conflict that's going on. We can only guess. We can only guess what will happen. But Jesus tells us one thing that will happen. That's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, that there will be famines and earthquakes. And if you think of the famines and earthquakes in the last 100 years, they were not mentioned in the Bible. So we can think that whatever is coming to be mentioned in the Bible must be something pretty huge. And so there are things that the Bible says are coming that we cannot really prepare for. Pestilence, earthquakes. Well, I mean, there's some things we can do, but the one thing we can prepare for is famine. And for famine, what we do is we store food. And that is something every one of us can do, is to store food so that we have food. Now, if it happens that we are not here for some reason or another, our loved ones will still be able to enjoy that food. So, as you might realize that food is a very good and comforting thing to have, we need it for our health. And we just need what we need to stay healthy, and that's what we want to do. We probably want more than beans and rice to be healthy, so that takes a plan. We might want some simple things like powdered tomato sauce or pepper or whatever the basic spices are that we like. Oh, and then we just need the basics. Salt, sugar, and oil, multivitamins. That's what we always can store. That is something that will always help us. Now, there are people who say they only want the good food. Well, that's okay if that's what you can afford. MREs and dehydrated foods are wonderful, but they are expensive. So you have to just kind of decide what your budget can handle and what it is you are willing to have. We have to remember that there was a time when food was rationed. Yes, even in this country, World War II had lots of food rationed. And it could happen again if there were shortages. I know just for me, what I like is food that lasts a long time. And that's why I think of grains. I think of whole grains because they hold their nutrition best. And then for the whole grains, you also need a grain grinder. a manual grain grinder, because if we're talking about an urgency when we need that food, we don't know if there's going to be electricity or not. And so we want a manual grain grinder with our prepared food, our food for preparedness. Another good thing to have is dried vegetables like carrots and peas and diced potatoes. All those things are good. They add a variety to what you're eating. Oh, and dried fruit, that's a delight to have. So have some of that in your preparedness food. And dried fruit can go really fast, so you have to watch it. Dried food is so good, you want to eat it up, but you want to make it last for a long time. Meat is an important item to have, and it's a little bit tricky to store because it can spoil. But you want to have some. Certainly canned meat is a good option. And powdered cheese is another pretty good option. Of course, it's not like the cheese you buy fresh, but it is kind of like cheese. Well, we have to make adjustments for our diet if that is indeed what's coming. Well, the most important thing to have is probably water. We need both water on hand and a water filter. And if the grid goes down for a period of time, we're going to need water containers and a wagon to carry our water home with. There are things that can happen, and we don't know, but like I said, we don't want America to dry up and blow away. We want to preserve ourselves, our family, and others. That's just what we want to do. We want to be sensible with what is going on, and sensible will be different for different people. But you do have to realize that there are forces in the world that want what you have. Oh, yes, you think of the people who would steal your food, and that's true. There are thieves and bandits who will come to take your food. And there is also a government that can steal your food and take it. Now, we know about that because there have been recreations of food, and that happened in the 1700s, and it happened in World War II. Another thing that happened in World War II was the government had rationing. So sometimes they would recreation food, the food they wanted, and sometimes they would hand it out with ration coupons. And the government has that power. We cannot forget it. And it's not just for food. I remember the story in World War II of a man that days after World War II started, the government came and requisitioned the new tires that he had just bought for the war effort. So it's an example that government can requisition anything. That's what they do. They take what they need for the war effort. And we can have shortages of anything. As you know, some months ago, there was a shortage of computer chips. A year ago, there was a shortage of toilet paper. And there was a shortage of some certain food items. Nowadays, I hear there is a shortage of boots. And guess where our military boots come from? They come from China. That's where they're made. And so do many of our civilian boots. They come from China. Now, what happens if we have a stoppage of our things that come from China? Well, what are we going to do if we have a military without boots? Not easy to even contemplate, but it could happen. There can be shortage of all sorts of things, including gasoline. I mean, that's just what happens. Shortages happen. Those rationing coupons were for the basics, like meat, milk, cheese, eggs, oil, sugar, salt, and coffee. All those things went mostly to the war effort. So we know that that can happen again. And with the blockchain technology and facial recognition, it will all be very known if you are someone who hoards what you have. And if the government needs to get what you have, they will acquire it and give you a receipt for it. That's just the way it works. So we are headed towards a very regulated society. There are cameras everywhere, and everything about you is noted. Wherever you drive, and your face through facial recognition is recorded all over the place. We have a big machine that is ready to watch you closely, and if they need what you have, they can take it. So I think of that Thomas Jefferson quote who said that if you allow private banks to control your currency, then the children, your children, will wake up homeless in the continent that your ancestors conquered. Well, anything can happen, and we have to be watchful for it as we have the love of Jesus Christ in what we do. It's not going to be easy, but God put us here for a time such as this, and therefore we know we can do it. You can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org, and you can get my free preparedness pamphlet by sending a stamped self-addressed envelope to me, John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. May you walk with God, and may God walk with you. How you love me, give me shelter.